By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. As always, as you know, we do start with the blessed recitation of the glorious Quran. Let's start the program first by recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon. شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
ووہبنا له اسحاق ویعقوب نافلہ
اور ہم نے اسے اسحاق عطا فرمایا اور یعقوب پوتا
وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ
اور ہم نے ان سب کو اپنے قرب خاص کا سزاوار یعنی اہل کیا
وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ
اور ہم نے انہیں امام کیا کہ ہمارے حکم سے بلاتے ہیں اور ہم نے انہیں وحی بھیجی اچھے کام کرنے اور نماز برپا یعنی قائم رکھنے اور زکات دینے کی
وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ
اور وہ ہماری بندگی کرتے تھے
وَلُوطًا آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ تَعْمَلُ الْخَبَائِثَ
اور لوط کو ہم نے حکومت اور علم دیا اور اسے اس بستی سے نجات بخشی جو گندے کام کرتی تھی
انہم کانوا قوم سوء فاسقین
بے شک وہ برے لوگ بے حکم یعنی نافرمان تھے
وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا إِنَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ
اور ہم نے اسے اپنی رحمت میں داخل کیا بے شک وہ ہمارے قرب خاص کے سزا واروں میں ہے
وَنُوحًا اِذْ نَادَى مِن قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْقَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ
اور نوح کو جب اس سے پہلے اس نے ہمیں پکارا تو ہم نے اس کی دعا قبول کی اور اسے اور اس کے گھر والوں کو بڑی سختی سے نجات دی
ونصرناه من القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا
اور ہم نے ان لوگوں پر اس کو مدد دی جنہوں نے ہماری آیتیں جھٹلائیں
انہم كانوا قوم سوء فأغرقناهم اجمعین
بے شک وہ برے لوگ تھے تو ہم نے ان سب کو ڈبو دیا
وداود وسلیمان اذ يحكمان في الحرث اذ نفشت فيه غنم القوم
اور داود اور سلیمان کو یاد کرو جب کھیتی کا ایک جھگڑا چکاتے یعنی فیصلہ کرتے تھے جب رات کو اس میں کچھ لوگوں کی بکریاں چھوٹیں
وَكُنَّا لِحُکْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ
اور ہم ان کے حکم کے وقت حاضر تھے
فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ
ہم نے وہ معاملہ سلیمان کو سمجھا دیا
وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُکْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَسَخَّرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُدَ الْجِبَالَ يُسَبِّحْنَ وَالطَّيْرَ
اور دونوں کو حکومت اور علم عطا کیا اور داؤد کے ساتھ پہاڑ مسخر فرما دیے کہ تسبیح کرتے اور پرندے
وَكُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ
اور یہ ہمارے کام تھے.
وعلمناه صنعة لبوس لكم لتحصنكم من بأسكم
اور ہم نے اسے تمہارا ایک پہناوا بنانا سکھایا کہ تمہیں تمہاری آنچ سے یعنی زخمی ہونے سے بچائے.
فهل انتم شاكرون
تو کیا تم شکر کرو گے؟
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, that was a beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah عزوجل, try to recite the glorious Quran as much as possible inshallah azza. When we read the Quran, alhamdulillah, the blessings that a person gets is amazing. Inshallah azza, Allah ta'ala will make things better for us. Always remember Allah, always worship Allah azza, and always try to build that relationship with your Rabb azza. And the more close relationship we have with Allah azza, the better will be. So hopefully inshallah azza, after we've recited the glorious Quran, then what we need to do is we need to make dua. To make dua part of your life, because dua is very, very important to a Muslim. And if we make it into part of our lives, inshallah azzawajal, the more better, the more easy it will be, inshallah azzawajal. Now it's time for the daily kalam. Let's listen to our beautiful kalam today. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يا رسول الله يا حبيب الله يا نبي الله يا نور الله
خير سے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے
ان کے نقش پا پہ غیرت کیجئے ان کے نقش پا پہ غیرت کیجئے آنکھ سے چھپ کر زیارت کیجئے آنکھ سے چھپ کر زیارت کیجئے
خیر سے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے
ان کے در پہ جیسے غم مٹ جائیے ان کے در پہ جیسے غم مٹ جائیے ناتوانوں کچھ تو ہمت کیجئے ناتوانوں کچھ تو ہمت کیجئے
جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے
ان کے در پر بیٹھئے بن کر فقیر ان کے در پر بیٹھئے بن کر فقیر بے نواؤ فکر ثروت کیجئے بے نواؤ فکر ثروت کیجئے
خیر سے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے
ہم تمہارے ہو کے کس کے پاس جائیں ہم تمہارے ہو کے کس کے پاس جائے، صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے، صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے،
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے،
نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا، نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا، مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے، مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے،
حیض جاں ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے،
در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب، در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب، طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے، طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے،
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے،
خدا ہمت کے یہ جانے حسین، دے خدا ہمت کے یہ جانے حسین، آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے، آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے،
حیض جاں ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے،
جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا، جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا، یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے، یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے،
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے،
یا نور اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عز و جل, very beautiful kalam. Alhamdulillah عز و جل, it wakes you up in the morning. You know, no matter what kind of a situation you are in, the Quran and the kalam, they wake you up every morning. That's why alhamdulillah we start off our program with a beautiful kalam. Inshallah عز و جل, we are going to get a guest on for today, inshallah. So hopefully I can update you later when I get some information from that, who the guest will be and what time they will be arriving. So inshallah we could have a discussion. And the topic that we got today is two wheels of life, husband and wife. Very, very important topic. And if you are the husband or if you are the wife, then it's very important that you watch this program till the end, because I'm not going to mention anything, inshallah, as well, it's according to Islam, what our beloved creator has mentioned and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned as well, inshallah, azza wa jal. In Islam, marriage has a very important role in our lives. And both the husband and the wife are prescribed different duties by Allah azza wa jal. And inshallah, azza wa jal, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, we'll go and we'll find out what the duties of the husband is, what the duties of the wife are, and how, you know, in the Muslim society today, how we could be saving our marriages today. Because the sad thing is that a lot of marriages are breaking up. A lot of divorces are happening nowadays amongst even the Muslim ummah as well. And the common reason is that people do not know the rights of the husband and wife. And inshallah, that's a very important part that we need to understand. Now, the first thing is Allah Azza wa Jal has outlined these rights of the husband and wife. And if we are mindful of these, if we understand, if we know what these rights are, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, with that, you know, there will be a very successful marriage life and also a successful home. Because remember, if a husband and wife break up, it's not just two people that break up. It's sometimes two families, sometimes two clans or two tribes, or sometimes it's two countries that will break up. So as Muslims, we are advised and we are taught in the Quran how we should be behaving with one another, yani the husband and the wife. There is a verse inside the glorious Quran, Surah Rum, and one of his signs is that he created mates for you from yourselves that you may find rest in them. And he put between you love and compassion. Most surely there are signs in this for a people with reflect. So here a few things that we find out from this is marriage is amongst the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are many signs that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Safa and Marwa are the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, life, Allah Ta'ala has put many signs in that as well. The scholars, they talk about the earth, you know, the stars, the sun, the moon, you know, the creation around us. These are all signs that Allah Ta'ala has created. And marriage is a medium of peace and tranquility. Both husband and wife are incomplete without each other. Peace is achieved when they come together and complement each other. When you complement each other, when you get to know each other and you appreciate each other, that's when, alhamdulillah, you understand that there will be a successful family, a successful life as well. Or else, there are so many people today, sadly, they are going through a very difficult time. Maybe someone's wife's not staying with them. They haven't broken up, but they're living in a par. They've split up with the wife, or they live in a par, and vice versa. And people are in deep, deep problems, you know. And especially if they got children, most of the time you see that the children will stay with the mother, but sometimes you'll see that the father will be fighting for his rights, which is, you know, his right for the custody of the children. And sadly, who loses out? The children. The children will lose out. And when they are young, you know, they're going to lose out a fatherly figure, you know, throughout their childhood. And when they're 18, obviously they're allowed to see their father. And they're going to lose their father figure, which is a very, very important part of their life or their upbringing as well. Now, for this, I've seen is that the mother who takes custody of the children, she will stop the children, the father seeing the children. Maybe the fight is somewhere else. If there's something wrong, for example, if he's an alcoholic, he's a drug dealer, then that makes sense. But for the father, or, you know, over arguments, over families, and sometimes it's not even the husband and wife. Sometimes it's the families, yeah? It's the families, the girl's family doesn't like the boy's family. And because they quarrel in arguing, and they are the victims. You know, I say that we slaughter the husband and wife, but basically we make them like a sacrificial goat, you know, the husband and wife. The key to the foundation of this relationship is not wealth, beauty, or lineage. Rather, it is attributed to love and mercy. Means that human life stands firm based on love and mercy. So it's not even to do with money. But nowadays, majority of the divorces that are happening is maybe over money, because the husband might not be fulfilling the rights of the wife, whereas he's supposed to be running the house. There's so many cases where the husband is supposed to be running the house and he doesn't give enough money to his wife to buy daily groceries. And as we know, things have, you know, they've doubled in the past month or so. So whereas before you were giving, what, 100, 200 pounds to your wife, things have gone up now. And you need to understand that, you know, she's got to do all the shopping. She's got to do everything. How is she going to get all the shopping when you give her 50 pound, 100 pound nowadays? If it's a small family, then that's different. Yeah, but at the moment, it's very, very hard. And the most important thing that we discussed was love and mercy amongst one another. Have that understanding of your spouse. Have that understanding. If you don't have the understanding, then what's going to happen? Things are going to get worse. You're going to have fights at home. But when you understand each other, when you understand the rights of your husband, and the wife understands the wife of the husband, and the husband understands the rights of the wife, and you both love each other for the sake of Allah, al-hubbu lillah, they love each other for the sake of Allah, then inshallah, azawajal, you're not going to get any arguments at home, any fights at home as well. And like I say, at this moment in time, financial arguments are very, very on the rise. Quran used two words, love and mercy. A building does not stand firm only on the basis of strong bricks. Simply laying bricks on top of each other, other does not strengthen a wall. What strengthen? It is the material that is placed between them. Yeah, you know, when you have bricks, if you just have a brick on top of a brick, yeah, or you have blocks and you put them on top of each other, that building is still not going to be strong. That building could fall off any time. That cement that we put in between these two blocks or bricks, that's what's holding the building together. And that cement, in this case, is love. And also, I want to include the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you have the fear of Allah, then you're not going to do anything negative regard anything at home as well. So when you have the love of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what happens is you will not find these kind of things in a marriage where things will be having problems or anything like that as well. The strength of the material will not allow the wall to break down, even during earthquakes as well. You know, if an earthquake comes, you know, that earthquake, you can translate it as arguments in the family, because you've got that bonding between the husband and the wife. Then no matter what comes in life, you're still going to withstand that as well. And together, you can support each other. You can help each other. You can comfort each other. And you can go past the biggest storms in life. You'll pass them. But if you don't understand each other, you don't understand the value, and you don't understand the love between yourself or the rights of each other, then you're going to get problems. Love in the initial stages and mercy, when the couple grow old and weak and do not have the ability to serve each other, strengthen the relationship. I've seen granddads and grandmas, they've got so much love between them. You know, why is that? It's because as they're getting older and older, they get wiser and wiser. And that love and bond between them gets more and more, you know, alhamdulillah, better. Now, you've seen that maybe in their youth, they were arguing, they were having fights at home. But these people understood their limits and their boundaries. Nowadays, you know, you just have to ignite a little thing and that's it, the whole house is on fire. Yeah, there's no thinking, there's no reflection, there's no stepping backwards and, you know, thinking of the consequences. Okay, the husband and wife are fighting. Yeah, as before, you know, our parents, our great-grandparents, they used to think, if I do anything, if I say anything, this is going to break up the family. And they used to, you know, they used to say that, there's a saying that they used to say that we've lost. Yeah, they used to accept defeat only to save the family. Now, Toba, no one wants to accept defeat. Our banda, yeah, who's just sharing the mess, awa sehra. Yeah, if you, the husband, if he's arguing, the wife will say, yeah, If you are two flanela potra, then may you stand in potri. And things go out of boundary. Love is between two adults, but children grow up in the shade of that mercy. Now, if you are at home, husband and wife, and you're always having arguments, that is reflecting onto your children. Your children are now getting affected because every day quarrels, arguments, every day fighting. You know, there's no sukoon in the family. I've talked to many children who sadly are growing up in this kind of an environment where mother and father are always quarreling each other. All they do is just like fight and fight over little things. Why have you bought this? Why have you spent money on this? Why is this happening? Why have you not bought this? Why? This is your duty. I'm doing the shopping. I'm doing the cleaning. You're supposed to be doing something as well. All these kind of fights, they continue so much that sadly, when it comes to a stage where it's just unbearable for the children as well, especially when they are growing old. And you know what? I talked to one of the Islamic brothers and he goes, I've just totally had enough at home. I just don't like going home. So what he does is, he'll wake up in the morning, have breakfast, make his own breakfast, and this chip, as they say, they just go out of the house. And he goes, I come back late at home, and then I just come back and just go to sleep. He goes, that's the kind of house I live in. And when I heard that, to be honest with you, I was really shocked and I was really saddened to hear that he lives in such a house where there's all these problems, and you think, Allahu Akbar, how is he coping? Young lad growing up, he's got many ambitions, he's got many, you know, goals in life. How is he going to meet all these goals? You know, there's no financial support because dad's not supporting him, mom's not even giving him that support because all they're doing is scoring points with each other. You know, so we're just scoring points with each other. And sadly, the children are losing out. And also, I got a call from an Islamic brother. And he put it on live. And, you know, his mom and dad were arguing. Astaghfirullah. You know, I know that guy. And he was in a sense that he was crying over the phone. He goes, I don't know what to do. My mom and dad are crying. They're fighting. And I don't know what to do. I'm the eldest in the family. My siblings are there on the sofa, you know, in one corner, which are scared that something bad's going to happen. Maybe dad's going to start hitting mom, or mom's going to start throwing things at dad. Things are going to escalate. And he says, I'm the biggest in the family. What do I do? It was very hard for me as well to advise him at that time. I said, first of all, turn off the phone and get out of the house. And inshallah, to ask your parents that you're going to invite me to the house. So, alhamdulillah, they agreed, which was very good. So, they agreed. So, I sat with the father and I told him a few things. You know, even rights of a husband. Why is it that you're having arguments with your wife? What's wrong? Or she always doubts me. She always thinks that I go out and spend money on other people and waste a lot of money. And I said, do you do that? And he goes, no, I don't. Why has she got these doubts in her mind for then? I don't know, you know, and then it was later found out that the wife was being fed all this information by her relatives, by her sisters, and by her family members. She was fed this information. None of it was true, but because he's got a job, which is not a very good financially, better off job, but that doesn't mean that the husband, you can start to doubt him. Now, what was happening? I've got this part of the subject to talk about as well, about people who make people fight, especially the husband and wife. You know, one of the most unique things, or one of the enjoyable things the shaitan wants to do is to have a husband and wife fighting each other. That's what the shaitan wants. Imam Zainul Abidin has mentioned the rights of a wife. Let's talk about one personality first. Let's talk about the wife. What are the rights of a wife? It is the right of your wife that you should know that Allah has made her as a medium of peace and comfort for you, and a medium of attachment and love for you. Both of you are each other's need. You should thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this great bounty, and both of you should praise Him. You should know that this is a grace of Allah upon you. Hence, it is incumbent upon you that you thank Allah Azza wa Jal and have a good fellowship with her. Although your rights upon her are greater and her obedience to you is obligatory in all your likes and dislikes, so long as it is not a sin. So she has a right that you treat her with love, mercy, attachment, and affection. She is the center of your comfort and the medium of your pleasure. She is a great bounty. You know, that was a beautiful advice from Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, here, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu is talking to the husband that, yes, you are the husband, you have more rights than the wife, in a sense that you are the one that is taking care of your wife. Yeah, so you have more rights. But because she's your wife, she has the right that you treat her with love. Not shouting at her, not, you know, swearing at her, ma'azallah, hitting her, all these kind of things, domestic, you know, whatever you can think of domestic abuse. Islam totally forbids domestic abuse. There shouldn't be anything like that. The husband should think to himself, your wives, what do they do for us? Let's give a comparison, yeah? She wakes up in the morning, you eat, maybe she brings it to your bed. You eat, who does the washing up? You wake up in the morning, you go to work. Maybe it might be a hard job, but do you think that she's asleep all day at home? She wakes up early in the morning, but she's got to prepare the kids to go to school. If there's little kids, then she prepares a breakfast for them. When they get to school, she cleans the house. So there's a full-time duty as a cleaner now. And then when you come back from work, she's got to prepare the food. You got to do the dishes. She's got to pick the kids up from school. She's got to drop them off at school. She's got to drop them off at madrasa. She's got to go pick them up from the madrasa. She's got to come back, prepare the food. After that, you chill out on your sofa or go for a little walk. She's got to do the cleaning. So if you can see that she is not someone that will sit at home and do nothing, she works very hard. Inshallah, we'll continue with this topic about the rights of the wife first. And inshallah, we've got the daily reminder. So let's take the daily reminder. And inshallah, we'll come back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We should treat everyone with good manners. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly among all the Muslims, the person I love the most is whose manners are good. Subhanallah. There's another hadith in Mubarakah. Likewise, a person humbly asked to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what is the best thing bestowed upon man by Allah? The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, good manners. The blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, on the judgment day, the heaviest good deed on the scale of the deeds of a Muslim will be a good manners. So what are the good manners? The mother of believers, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, has narrated, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, should I not tell you about good manners of the world and the hereafter? Keep relations with the one who breaks off relation with you. Bestow upon the one who deprives you, and forgive the one who oppresses you. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, I have been sent for the perfection of good manners. Subhanallah. So dear Islam brothers, we should also treat our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, our family members with good manners as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching our program Rise and Shine. We were talking about rights of the wives. It was one of the last wills of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he departed this world physically. Look after your wives. Look after your women. You have made a covenant with Allah. That nikah, the nikah is very, very important. That's your covenant with Allah, that you agree the terms of the nikah, that yes, I will take care of her for the sake of Allah. And she became your wife. And now she's your responsibility. You will be asked about your family on the day of judgment. So now, do you see, being a husband doesn't mean that now, मैं जो कुछ कर सा तू कर मैं आपसे मैं कर से तू व्हाटएवर आई से यू विल डू या दैट्स वन थिंग बट यू आर गोना बी हेल्ड अकाउंटेबल ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट एज वेल बिकॉज़ देयर ऑल योर रियाया देयर ऑल योर सब्जेक्ट्स यू आर गोइंग टू बी आस्क्ड अबाउट देम ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट द इंपॉर्टेंस ऑफ द राइट्स ऑफ अ वाइफ इज एविडेंट फ्रॉम दीज ट्रेडिशंस द होली प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम हैज रिपीटेडली एम्फसाइज्ड on this point and has willed concerning women during the last stages of one's life. Yeah? So even in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's last moments in his life, he was worried about the women. Not worried about that, ma'azallah, people are going to be disrespecting them or mistreating them, but because he wanted to pass on this knowledge to us that your wives are not just there to take care of you and your family and the cleaning and the cooking and all that kind of stuff. She's not your servant. She's your life partner. It is obligatory upon a husband to pay alimony to his wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, cursed is he who violates the rights of his wife. Wife's rights on a husband are that he should provide her with food and clothes and not find fault with her. When he discharges these duties, that's why by Allah, he has paid her due. So the person, he is in charge of the wife. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well. So it is the husband's duty to provide food and clothing and security for the wife. That's what you need in your life, food, clothing and security. And the wife is the subject of the husband. The husband will be asked about these on the day of judgment. May Allah Ta'ala bless us and may Allah Azawajal reward us. We've got a daily hadith, so let's take the daily hadith, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu an states, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tamassaka bi sunnati 'inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahidin." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever holds firmly onto my sunnah at the time of corruption in my ummah, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs." This hadith is mentioned in Mishkatul Masabih. What is the sharh, the commentary? The ulama have said that fasadi ummati, the time of corruption in my ummah, refers to the time when the sunnah is abandoned or there is a lack of amal upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the wordings, 100 martyrs, this indicates towards the fact that acting upon the sunnah at that time will be a great struggle, very difficult, but its reward will be immense. We know the reward of a martyr, subhanallah, before his blood, the drop of blood falls on the floor, he sees his place in Jannah. There are so many ahadith in regards to the fadail of a shaheed. But why does it say 100 martyrs in this hadith? The ulama state that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ, is because a shaheed, he goes through struggle, no doubt, great difficulty and hardship, and then he tastes martyrdom, but it's only once. As for the one who acts upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, he will have to go through difficulty again and again. If he keeps the beard, for example, uses the miswak sharif, grows his hair long in accordance to the sunnah, then people will look at him and they will say things about him. They will discourage him. They will dishearten him. So again and again, he's having to face this hardship. They are disheartening him. They are making him feel down. So this is why he will gain the reward of 100 martyrs, because time and time again he has to struggle all his life until his last breath. He will hear people say wrong things about him. oh, he's a religious person now. Oh, you're too young to keep a beard. Sometimes, ma'adullah, even the own relatives, parents, siblings are the ones to discourage. So this is why the reward of 100 martyrs has been promised for that person who acts upon the sunnah, who clings firmly to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at the time of fasad, corruption, when people have left the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to cling on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azawajal, welcome back. I hope you not only enjoyed today's daily hadith, but you also learned a lot from that hadith park as well. And that's why we include the daily reminder and the hadith in our program so that we can learn. And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, we've got a very important guest with us, MashaAllah Azawajal, Usman Madani from Malawi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah Azawajal. Usman bhai, how are you, brother? You okay?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Jazakallah khaira for your time. But it's always good to have you on the program and to share the knowledge, mashallah. You're a beautiful religious scholar as well. Usman bhai, we're talking about the rights of husband and wife. I've just mentioned a few rights of the wife. And inshallah, if you can put your knowledge into this as well, please.
Alhamdulillah, it's a very important topic and a very needed topic, especially when we look into the situations, the ground realities of today, in which there is a lot of influence which is non-Islamic and which is putting in the roots of such ideas and agendas that it's my life, it's my wish, no one can tell me what to do, no one can do this, no one can do that. So these mentalities and these ideas, they end up in divorce, they end up separating the husband from the wife and the wife from the husband. So if the husband and wife, if the children, if everybody follows what Sharia has laid out for everyone, Sharia is so beautiful. Sharia has given a guideline for everybody, how a husband should treat the wife, how the wife should treat the husband. Because what happens is, in our countries, in the UK, Malawi, throughout the world, we have a traffic system that on the red light, you need to stop. On the green light, you need to go. When you are turning somewhere, you need to give a right indicator, left indicator. You need to stop at a stop street. You need to do this at a roundabout. You need to go in your lane. You're going fast. You use this certain lane. You're going slow. You use the certain lane. If a person follows the traffic rules, and everybody does so, everybody is following the traffic rules, there won't be accidents. Accidents will finish. Because everyone is doing what he's supposed to do in his limitations. So that's how we should be. The Sharia has made a circle for a husband and has put the husband in that circle. Don't move out from your circle. Same for the wife. This is your circle. And the wife has to stand in that circle. Don't go out from the circle. If they are in those circles of Sharia, they won't have accidents. They won't have such problems. But the only problems they come is when we try to step out of our Shari'i boundaries. As a result, things happen like talaq and separations. You know, about the husband, it is so much that Allahu Akbar, Hadith Pak mentions that sajda is not allowed to anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it was allowed, it would be for the husband. If sajda ta'zimi would be allowed, it would be for the husband. It's not allowed. Allah, but it's just for us to understand that how important it is for the wife to be obedient towards the husband. Because when she is obedient to the husband is her home. The husband is everything for her. And if she keeps the home, you know, there's a very beautiful saying that it is up to the wife to be the wife of a king or to be a wife of a weak person. Meaning, it is the wife who will make the husband strong, but it is the wife which will make the husband weak. Now, it is up to her. She wants to be called as a Badshah's wife or she wants to be called as a Fakir's wife.
Yeah, and I think another very important thing that you've touched upon is, you know, you've touched upon one of the words, talaq. Now, sadly, you know, we're living in times where this ratio of divorce is a very, very alarmingly increasing in our Muslim ummah as well. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, our parents, our great-grandparents. Whenever they used to have, you know, everyone, may Allah, mashallah, you know, we have ups and downs in our family. We might have few arguments at home. But, you know, whenever I was talking to my, you know, my uncle, and he says, you know, whenever we used to have these arguments, we used to think about the family. We used to think about the children. Nowadays, that's not there. Straight away, the husband, ma'azallah, will, you know, 3 divorces to the wife. And they'll think later. And that's why we get a lot of ratio. I was talking to Mufti Shamsul Huda Sahab the other day as well. And he sits in his Darul Ifta. And he goes, majority of the phone calls that are coming up are because of talaq.
It's true, Abhisab. Definitely, nowadays, the ratio of talaq has increased a lot. And again, what it comes up to is that we are stepping outside our limitations of
Sharia. Yeah.
Then husbands are the ones who are regretting later on that, come on, man, I was angry. I wasn't in the right
frame.
So who is happy and needs talaq? That, okay, you made a lovely ice cream today. Go, I give you talaq. It doesn't work like that. In fact, amongst the jais actions, the most hated action, the most disliked action in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talaq, is separation between husband and wife. Separation between husband and wife doesn't only end there, that now, okay, the woman is free and the man is free, so they can do what they want. You have spoiled the entire life of your children. Which direction are your children going? And this is something we have witnessed ourselves, that the husband and wife, what happens is, then the husband wants to attract the children by his side and the woman wants to attract the children by her side. And in this pulling game, what happens is the husband is showing some money or some attraction, some gadgets, and same with the woman, she is doing that so the children can go by her side. This spoils the children. This keeps the children away from what they are supposed to be doing. So basically, by getting a talaq, you were so selfish at that certain moment that you only thought about your freedom, you only thought about yourself, but you didn't look at the bigger picture that you are not only ruining your life, you're ruining the woman's life, and you're ruining the life of your children, most importantly. And then one more issue is, there are many young girls, Abhisab, who are sitting at home at young ages with a baby having talaq. And now they are not able to get married. Because the society then, because whenever a rishta goes or something like this, then the first question is, talaq, why were you divorced? That means there's something wrong in you. So that lady is sitting for the rest of her life. She was 30 years old when she got divorced. Now she's 50 years old, sitting alone, no shelter, no one as a backbone to support. So we ruin the person's life by giving. And now the society is such, Abhisab, the women now have become so, Allahu Akbar, what can we say, so bold, basically. They ask for talaq. Give me talaq. Come on, you don't want to stay with me? Give me talaq. This is so wrong.
I think some of them, because of these things happening in the family, you know, you see these feminist movements, you know, organizations, marches that are happening. And again, they're all against Islam. There's no truth in what they are saying. But when these kind of incidents happen in the home, you know, these things are highlighted. These people, they get that ammunition, don't they? They get that fire to go out and to preach against the teachings of Islam. So I think as husband and wife, you mentioned rightly, that there's some things that we need to sit down and we can discuss. A lot of the things can be sorted if we sit down rather than having an argument. But no one wants to back off, though.
100%. We are all, you know, strong. We think we are big. Wife thinks that I am big. I am doing everything. I am taking care of the children. I am right. And the man is a man. Boss is always right. So he thinks I'm the boss. I'm the man of the house. So I am always right. So when this is the mindset that I am always right, then that can cause problems. Because if Abhisab, we and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase us in our love, inshallah ta'ala. If we are to have, you know, a discussion or a conflict on something. So when you talk, I have to keep quiet and listen to your point of view. And if I want to counter your argument, I will wait for you to keep quiet and then I will speak. And when I'm speaking, you will keep quiet. But this is a, you know, completely different sort of a situation wherein both of them are talking, no one is listening. So how can we...
And sometimes they're not talking, all they're doing is just shouting at each other, just accusing each other. You know, I've been to a lot of places where, you know, you get invited, please, can you come and talk to my husband? Please, can you come and talk to so-and-so? And it's really, the only thing that they do is, and once I went and the husband, I was sat with him and talking, and all he was doing was just shouting. I goes, look, you're not even talking, you're shouting. You need to calm down and sit down and talk, not shout. Things are going to get worse. But I always say, Usman Bhai, that at the end, the nuksan or the ones that are, you know, going to be left out are the children. Because now that you said, well, they're going to be pulled by the mother, they're going to be pulled. And in some cases, the children are taken away by the authorities. And in sometimes, they are split up as well. And, you know, there's a case where a husband and wife, you have had an argument, and they took their children away, the social. And, you know, they were split up. And for 3 or 4 years, the brothers and sisters were split up and living with non-Muslims only because the parents could not sit down and talk to one another.
Allahu Akbar, Ji, true, that is very, very sad. And we are basically, you know, we wish that once we are old, once we die, there is someone behind us who can do Isala Sawab for us. When we are in a situation like this, how do we even expect the Isala Sawab when our children are not even brought up in an Islamic environment? So 100% true. And on the point of, you know, arguing and screaming and shouting at one another, there was a Huzurg. I don't exactly remember the name, but a very great Islamic scholar, a very great Buzurg. He was married for more than 40 years, and the neighbors were witness of this, that he was never screaming at his wife, nor his wife was ever heard screaming at him. They never fought. So he was asked, what is the secret behind it? So he said, there is no secret to it. So what do you mean? So whenever I'm angry, I'm a human being, I get angry. Whenever I get angry, my wife shuts up. She's quiet, absolutely silent. And when she gets angry, she is also a human being. When she screams, when she shouts or something, I keep quiet. So, you know, when one party is quiet, so there is no accident, meaning a car alone on the road cannot bump any other car. It can bump a wall. It cannot come against any other car. So like this, we have to be, when one is angry, you know, as husbands also. Okay, there are many rights of the husband. Husband is, you know, the superior authority in the house. So sometimes husbands also take a misadvantage, considering that I am the boss, I have so many who cook, I am right. Come on. She is also a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She also has a mind, she has a heart. If she said something, just keep quiet for that instance. Later on, explain to her. She will understand, inshallah ta'ala. So when we stop arguing, okay, another main point here is that when the argument starts, so it's not just what you have done now. It's not that what you have broken the plate now. It's not that what you are spending time on the mobile now. What happens then is husband will start picking up things which the wife did 11 and a half years ago. And the wife will start mentioning the things which the husband's sister or the husband's mother did 15 years ago. All those things come up. And 15 years ago,
normally people say they bring the dead back to life again.
Yeah, that's what happens. So when you discuss, forgive, finish, it should end there. So like this, we can move on easily. If we just go sit in the past, we are not headed anywhere. So forgive and forget. And when the other one is angry, just keep quiet and have sabr. This will be a very good ingredients for a happily wedded life.
MashaAllah. JazakAllah khairah for all them beautiful Madani pearls. Allah Ta'ala increase your knowledge, all the good work that you're doing there. Please keep us in your prayers as well. Take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah Azawajal. Usman Madani from Malawi. That incident that he told about the date that people were thinking is meat. You know, there are lot of people, you know, we don't seem to understand, but there are a lot of people in the world who are struggling. You know, may Allah Ta'ala bless them and may Allah Ta'ala feed them from paradise. We have Kaniz Fatima. We'll watch Kaniz Fatima's beautiful Madani pearls and we'll come back, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, सबके काम ये आती है
वाह भाई
अच्छी बातें सिखाती है
वाओ
छोटे मुंह से बात बड़ी ये अक्सर कर जाती है कितनी अच्छी बच्ची है
बहुत अच्छी है
मैं ये सच्ची है
कोई गलत करता है कुछ तो ये उसे समझाती है
कनीज़ फातिमा
अरे वाह, ये क्या है? ये स्टार्स आ कहाँ से रहे हैं?
अल्लाहु अकबर, 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 अल्लाहु अकबर।
आमीन। आपी, ये आप तस्बीह पर क्या पढ़ रही थी?
रायका, मैं हर नमाज के बाद तस्बीह फातिमा पढ़ती हूँ।
तस्बीह फातिमा, ये क्या होती है आपी?
सुभान अल्लाह, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह और अल्लाहु अकबर का वेन तस्बीह फातिमा कहलाता है।
आपी, ये कितनी दफा पढ़ना होता है?
रायका, तस्बीह फातिमा में सुभान अल्लाह 33 टाइम्स, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह भी 33 टाइम्स और अल्लाहु अकबर 34 टाइम्स पढ़ा जाता है। ये वो तस्बीह है जिसे हमारे प्यारे आका सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वालैहि वसल्लम ने हजरत फातिमा रदी अल्लाहु अन्हा को पढ़ने के लिए दी थी और फरमाया था कि ये तुम्हारे लिए खादिम से बेहतर है, यानी कि तुम्हारी सारी थकावट दूर हो जाए और सब काम अब खुद ही कर लिया करोगी।
अगर ये तस्बीह मैं भी पढ़ूंगी तो क्या मुझे भी थकावट नहीं होगी? मैं भी तो स्कूल जाती हूँ, ट्यूशन जाती हूँ, अपना सारा होमवर्क करती हूँ और फिर आपके और मम्मा के सारे काम भी करती हूँ। थकन तो मुझे भी बहुत हो जाती है।
अरे भाई, तो इसे आप भी पढ़े ना, ये तो बहुत अच्छी बात है, आपको भी इससे बहुत फायदा होगा।
सुभानअल्लाह, इसे क्या मैं अभी पढ़ सकती हूँ?
क्यों नहीं रायका, बिल्कुल पढ़ सकती है, लेकिन हर नमाज के बाद इस तस्बीह को पढ़ना ज्यादा अफजल है। ये ले जाए नमाज में बैठकर अदब से पढ़ें और जब पढ़ लें तो ये जाए नमाज वहीं रखिएगा जहाँ इसकी जगह है, ताकि अगर अम्मी को नमाज पढ़नी हो तो वहीं से उठा लें।
ठीक है आप, ये जज़ाकल्लाहु खैरा।
Allahu Akbar.
Ya Allah, ye kya ho gaya?
रायका।
जी आपी,
जल्दी से नीचे आकर दूध पी ले।
आई, रुक जाओ, कहाँ जा रहे हो? आई।
आराम से रायका, गिर जाएंगी। देखा ना, गिर गई, ज्यादा लगी तो नहीं?
नहीं अभी नहीं लगी।
लगी है ना, मैंने आपको कितनी बार समझाया है, आहिस्ता चला करें और सीढ़ियों से हमेशा आराम से ही उतरा करें और उतरते हुए सुभान अल्लाह और सीढ़ियों से ऊपर चढ़ते हुए अल्लाहु अकबर का विर्द किया करें। यहाँ आकर बैठे, मैं आपके लिए दूध में हल्दी मिला कर लाती हूँ, आपको दर्द में आराम मिलेगा।
नहीं, मुझे ऐसे ही दे दे।
अरे रायका, कितनी बुरी बात है, एक तो आपने उल्टे हाथ से ग्लास पकड़ के दूध पिया जो कि सुन्नत के खिलाफ है। हमें हमेशा सीधे हाथ से ही हर चीज खानी चाहिए, सीधे हाथ से ही हर चीज देनी और लेनी चाहिए। दूसरी बात, आपने दूध पीने से पहले ना ही बिस्मिल्लाह शरीफ पढ़ी और ना ही दूध पीने की दुआ पढ़ी। क्या कह रही है? दुआ का पूछ रही है। दूध पीने की दुआ ये है, अल्लाहुम्मा बारिक लना फीही वज़िदना मिन्हु। ए अल्लाह पाक, ہمارے لیے اس میں برکت عطا فرما اور ہمیں مزید عطا فرما.
کیا ہو گیا عرائقہ آپ کو؟
ویسے تو آپ چپ ہی نہیں ہوتی،
ابھی یہ
کیوں کر رہی ہیں؟ کچھ بول کیوں نہیں رہی؟ آپ کے منہ میں کچھ ہے نا؟
رائکا جھوٹ نہیں بولتے، پتہ ہے نا آپ کو جھوٹ بولنا کتنی بری بات ہے.
کون؟ ایک منٹ آئی،
آپ یہیں رکے، میں ابھی آئی.
شکر ہے بچ گئی، آپ ہی کو پتا چل جاتا تو مسئلہ ہو جاتا، بہت ناراض ہوتی وہ تو.
رائکا میں نے آپ سے کہا تھا نا وہیں رکے، بڑوں کا کہنا نہ ماننا بہت بری بات ہے. اور یہ کیا چھپا رہی ہیں آپ منہ میں؟
واپس یہ چھپا رہی تھی.
یہ کیا ہے؟
آپ کی تسبیح کا دانا.
یہ کیسے نکل گیا؟
صرف یہی نہیں بلکہ سارے دانے نکل گئے تھے.
اللہ، رائکا یہ کیا کیا آپ نے؟ تسبیح توڑ دی؟
توڑی نہیں ہے، ٹوٹ گئی ہے اور سارے دانے بکھر گئے تھے. یہ تو دودھ کے گلاس میں چلا گیا تھا، اسی لیے میں نیچے نہیں بول رہی تھی کیونکہ میں نے منہ میں یہ چھپایا ہوا تھا.
او ہو، تو مطلب آپ نے دودھ پیتے ہوئے وہ موتی منہ میں روک لیا تھا. رائکا خدا نہ خواستا یہ موتی اگر آپ کے حلق میں پھنس جاتا یا سانس کی نالی میں اٹک جاتا تو پتا ہے آپ کے لیے کتنی مشکل ہو جاتی. رائکا ہمیشہ یاد رکھیں، بچوں کو اس طرح سے یہ موتی، تسبیح کے دانے یا سکے وغیرہ کبھی بھی منہ میں لے کر نہیں کھیلنا چاہیے. یہ اگر حلق میں پھنس جائے تو جان کو بھی خطرہ ہو سکتا ہے، سمجھی؟
جی سمجھ گئی، انشاءاللہ اب میں ایسا کبھی نہیں کروں گی.
جزاک اللہ خیر، اللہ پاک آپ کو اپنی بات پوری کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. آمین ثم آمین.
کنیز فاطمہ، اچھی بچی کنیز فاطمہ.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل کنیز فاطمہ دے teaching us a lot of manners and etiquettes. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل. And you know, it really, if you want your children to grow up in a good environment, and inshallah azul, you'll see that your children will become your obedient, and inshallah they will start to learn as well. We are inshallah azul, in our last few minutes of the program, and I just want to wind up the topic that we've been discussing today. Talaq, even though it's a halal word, but it is one of the most disliked in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, as according to the hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif. In Fatawa Razviya Sharif, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, to divorce without any shari reason is strictly disliked and makruh in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now where I want to really go to now is people who, ma'azallah, make the husband and wife fight each other. The shaitan, he was meeting with his compatriots, as they say, and he asked them, what did you do today? And one of the shaitan, he turns around and he says, I made a husband and wife fight each other. And the shaitan was so pleased and gifted him, and he says, you've done a fantastic job. Now sadly there are such people around that don't want to see a successful marriage. You know, when they find out so and so's got married, they just want to break up the marriages. Let me just mention a few things regarding fitne baz log. Don't listen to these people. You know, someone will come over, ah, sunya, usani buddhi ye kam kita, yeah, itu suno, itu kado. Bas, forget him. Pitne bas, chugol khor banda jara, usne gulo hamesha bachna chahina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who instigates the wife of someone against him is not one of us. Yani he instigates the wife, your husband's done this, you know your husband's having an affair, do you know your husband spending money on so and so? You know your husband was seen in this place. This has happened, that's happened. So what they're doing is they're inciting hatred in the heart of the wife, you know, so that she goes against the husband. Regarding this blessed hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said, there are many forms of creating discord between husband and wife. The heart of a woman is weak like a raw small bottle. Mentioning the evils of her husband to her and mentioning the good qualities of other men to her, doing magic or making the use of amulets, are all haram. So people go to someone and they will get taweez done on their husband, ٹیک دس تعویذ, یہ اپنے جڑے کی یہ تعویذ پیا لو, یو نو ہی از ڈوئنگ دس, ہی از ڈوئنگ دیٹ, اینڈ معاذ اللہ تھنگز ہیو گن سو آؤٹ آف ہینڈ دیٹ اٹس ریئلی ریئلی بیڈ. ہزبینڈ اینڈ وائف شوڈ ناٹ بی ڈیسیوڈ بائی اینی ون. ویئر ایور اے پرسن ہو از ایدر فرام دا فیملی اور آؤٹ آف دا فیملی اسٹارٹ اسپیکنگ بیڈ تھنگز اباؤٹ the husband or the wife or vice versa, we should stop him wisely, because the way committing backbiting, it is a sin. Go and stop him. Oh yeah, so you're telling me about my wife, she did this, she did that. How do you know that? Can you put your hand on the Quran and do that? And just, you know, even if he says, you know, such people, they don't have no deen, they don't care what's happening, and all they want is just fighting, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they're not amongst us, they're not one of us. So they don't care about anything. They'll put their hand on the Quran and lie as well. Don't just, first thing is, don't even listen to them. Bas, khatam, chodo, puli jao. Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Shihab, rahmatullahi alayhi, was sitting near King Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. A person came to whom the king said in a little annoyance, I have learned that you have said such and such thing about me. He replied, I have said nothing like this. The king said instantly, the person who told me is a truthful person. How can he tell a lie? Addressing the king, Sulaiman, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi said, the person who has given you this news is a telltaler, yani a chughal khor, and a telltaler can never be truthful. Having heard this, the king controlled himself and started saying, Your Highness, you have said absolutely right. Then the king said to the person, idhab bi salamin, you may return safely. Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah said, a husband and wife should live together with tolerance and love, should take care of each other's rights and fulfill them. It should not happen that a husband keeps his wife merely as a slave girl, because the way Allah Almighty has given supremacy to men, in the same way He has also stated, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Surah Nisa verse 19, and deal with them kindly. So deal with your wives kindly. So inshallah, Azawajal, if there's anything, ifs and downs, she hasn't paid the best food for you, or the cooking wasn't done properly, the cleaning wasn't done properly at home, just forgive her. She's not a servant, she's your wife. The way you get ill, the way you get ups and downs in your life, she will have the same as well. May Allah Ta'ala make our families stronger. May Allah Ta'ala keep the fitna away from our families and keep the shaitan away. Have more love for your family and yourselves as well. Take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.